You're listening to a new episode of Modern Day Homesteaders with your hosts, Matt and Tiffany Whitney. Welcome back, season two. New name, new conversation, new podcast. Yeah. Same host, Matt and Tiffany.
Hello.
We're going to be sharing our journey of turning our 1970s acreage into a modern day homestead.
Yeah. I guess the first one is, what is homesteading and what is homesteading to us? So
yes, homesteading is living self-sufficiently and sustainably. In the 1930s is when homesteading really stopped in Canada. And in the 1940s is when supermarkets became a huge thing and very popular.
And convenient. And I can understand where there was a mass adoption, because then you basically used money and you worked in a system of constantly working and paying for bills, paying for things. So it's a cycle.
And now we're trying to go back to a modern day type of homesteading. Mm-hmm. So what is that and why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm. For us, it does come to looking to the future. If we can align ourselves with new ideas, with learning new skills, taking care of our food source and a plethora of other things, we allow ourselves to be more self-sufficient as, you know, time goes on, as we get older, looking to the future of not being beholden to government, not being beholden to superstores, not being beholden to
the big supermarkets.
And allowing yourself to share your skills and your knowledge, and also to have a sense of accomplishment when it comes to learning those said skills. And that's what's come down to us, is like, none of this was inherited. It was all actively learned and purposefully implemented.
Yeah, so we were city folks 7 years ago until we moved out here, and we had to learn quickly how to change and adapt.
Yeah.
And from there, we've kind of practiced a lot of fundamentals of permaculture and just like creating zero waste, reusing, repurposing.
You know, you're not going to be able to tackle the problem, you know, with climate change. Not one person is going to be able to solve that. But collectively, if you start looking at your waste, you start looking at your carbon footprint, I think that is important for the longevity of, I guess, humanity. Yeah. And I think what I'm trying to do is just do my part and to look at problems and find solutions. So that's a big thing.
That is a big thing with us. I'm like, so each episode, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into all these topics, but we're just going to share some of our permaculture practices that we are following, or we'll try to follow or incorporate.
First off, I think this is really important. Okay. I think before we get too ahead of ourselves, in no way are we professionals, gone to school. I think we've got our black belt in YouTube. That's about it. So we are learning as we go. And I think what's going to make this fundamentally important is, because, you know, Instagram, I find, and different social, is to be polished, beautiful, pretty. And I think what we're going to do is take the opposite approach to that. We're going to be raw. We're going to talk about our mistakes and our achievements
and
our challenges, and not try to be this polished thing that we actually know what we're doing, because we don't.
Most of the time,
we don't. We just want to try it. We're just like muddling through it. So, it is important. Tiffany's going to list off these practices, and we're using it as our testament, our Bible. This is
our goals
to be able to achieve the longevity of some of these practices, and watching other people's successes throughout. We've got our own challenges being in Canada, being zone 3A, but we also have advantages. Like, our summers are great. We've got lots of sun.
Yeah,
you know, there's being in Edmonton and stuff like that, just outside Edmonton. So I think what we should do to make this fun and interactive, I think we'll go after each one and kind of have a discussion. So there's five that we named.
How we will name, yeah.
Yeah, that are in importance. So I think
we should just get into it. How we're going to go about each one of them.
Yeah.
So number one for us is grow your own food.
Yes.
I think.
There's a lot. Yeah. We're going to try to delve into each one of these, but Tiffany and I, that was the first one when we got onto this acreage that we tried to tackle. We saw the advantages and the growth in it.
Well, yeah, because we were city folks and we relied on convenience. Convenience mm-hmm. was just like 2-second walk down the road to
yeah,
get
and now we're half stuff. An hour now away. Yeah.
Convenience didn't exist for us anymore. So
yeah.
growing our own food also went back to like our roots and seeing our grandmas and our grandparents like growing their own food. And so it kind of brought back, now we have the space, let's grow our own food.
Yeah.
I want my own carrots. Give it a shot. I want my own tomatoes.
And the funny bit is I think I'm still thinking we've killed more plants than what we've actually grown. No, that's a lie, but you know, there is a lot of learning when we were trying
there's
to figure
out. There's a lot of loss.
There's a loss in the beginning, and there was a lot of learning curves and thinking the plan changes quite quickly. Like you have this, you know, you put into your imagination the way that these things are supposed to happen when you're planting things, and then it kind of goes awry, or you don't realize that a certain plant propagates so well or grows so yeah. well that it just takes over a space, right. and you get to just like feel those moments.
It's like experimenting yeah. all the time. The 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah.
It's like 20% for experiment, 80% for the proven stuff.
Yeah, and keep learning new things. Like we're it's funny with the chicken fiasco situation that's going on. Like more and more we're thinking about, you know, chickens and having more control over our food system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think you get to learn something, figure it out, manage it, and then move on to another problem and kind of
keep adding
to that. And that's
to being more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next thing that we're doing, or which has really been an exciting thing, we've put it into full gear this
yeah.
summer, is catching and storing our rainwater and using it as our main water source.
I think this is so important, and I'm going to delve into this as quickly as I possibly can. But I think what we're going to do is just speak to our experiences and what we've done. There is some benefits to this property. So we have two big cisterns, 3,000 gallons, both of them, that catch rainwater off the roof. They've been inactive for years, but we finally connected it back to our main line of our house. And now what it does is it, we have an osmosis, reverse osmosis system that we use for our drinking water. And then, so what we shower and bathe in, shower wash, and bathing is the same thing. Yeah. Wash is what
do
it means.
Do laundry,
dishes, things yeah. like that is ran off of rainwater.
Toilets, yeah.
We were able to use it until January. So we didn't have to, we have to haul water. We don't have a well. So those are challenges that, weren't such a challenge, and we were very fortunate being in the city.
Yeah.
What else to do to touch on that? And then also too, like with the food forest project, that is going to be a big part, as well as water catchment, to hold and store water, to repurpose it, as
yeah,
well
to use to feed yeah, the plants,
as
yeah.
well like irrigation. This year, 2023, I've decided that it's going to be the year of installing an irrigation in our gardens,
in our main garden.
So we're going to have that to work on and learn.
Yeah, because like last year with the heat,
yeah, it was interesting. It was a challenge, and like where if we could have had a system like a manifold system on, we could have been doing other things besides 3 hours, 2.5 hours of watering every day.
Yeah.
So that definitely comes with a learning curve, and we took it on the chin.
Yes.
And now we're just going to adapt. And that was, you know, a famous thing that I always say that gardeners say is we'll get it next year.
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna like try and tweak.
Anthem.
Yeah.
Next year,
this won't happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a big part.
Okay, so the next ones are creating our own resources and retrofitting our home to heat and cool itself.
Okay.
Big topic.
Yeah, that's a big topic as well. That one, I think we're going to have, when we carry on with these podcasts, we're going to go into more of a research development, because there is wish lists. I've gone down rabbit holes of different technologies, solar roofs. I'm not going to get into it too much, but that is definitely something that would be very interesting.
That is our new goal, like the next step.
Next step. Well, even just to look into it and see what capabilities we could do with, you know, upgrading our electrical, thinking about solar, possibly a couple small wind turbines would be interesting. So when the sun isn't shining, maybe the wind is a blowing kind of thing. We've got the space for it, so that it comes down to the dollars and cents of that. And I think that would be a really fun discussion to have some maybe experts on and have a conversation about like what makes sense feasibly, even talking about like paying back to the grid when, you know, electricity is high and you can sell it back. Having those kinds of conversations, I think, will make this channel very interesting and see like down the future, if we're at this property for, you know, 30 years, to make that capital investment for the long road to be very self-sufficient on every aspect of this journey, and not relying on your capabilities and the resources that you draw in. So that's huge. What else would we talk about with technology? I think
Solar panels will just like wood heat, like using natural resources.
Using resources, things like that. I would even like to talk about other, there's like pumped hydro ideas too that you could look at as well, storing energy in the summer, especially when we have an abundance of it.
Sun,
That would be something that would be cool to talk about.
Yeah, so we'll get a little deeper into that in later episodes.
There's a lot to talk about, and it'd be really interesting to get different people's perspectives, because I would very much like to be more informed in that, in those aspects. Also, too, like even going as far like talking about energy is also efficiency, I think, touches on that as well.
Yeah.
Like having high efficiency water heaters, looking into you know, your windows and doors and efficiencies when it comes to that, because power is one part of the game, but holding the heat that the power generates, or, you know, looking to get off fossil fuels. Like, we are hooked up to gas. This is a 1970s home with a lot of the trappings of a 1970s home. For example, 2x4 construction. It's not insulated the greatest. It's before like big codes changed in the 80s. So windows and doors, that's another big conversation that we could have. It comes very, I think, in my mind, very hand in hand to energy and efficiencies and looking, again, to the future. And something to touch on in Canada, in the construction of home, I think it was 2,800 square feet, we had a $500-$600 energy bill. And that's with us managing our energy. Like Tiffany, at one point, we were turning it down to 15, 16 when we went to work. And then we would turn it back up when we got home and have a fire.
Yeah.
So those are the things. And we were still
just to see if it would make a difference. And
make a difference and like, see. Yeah. But it made a bit of a difference. But then we fell off that bandwagon, got complacent because we got busy with life and et cetera. And then the next month we got hit with a $600 bill. So also talking about like, when I was saying before about furnace efficiencies, like we don't have a smart thermostat. So that's challenges as well that you could talk about. That could be a game changer. Another example is
motion sensor
lights. You just took the words out of my mouth. I love it. Those types of things. So when you walk out of a room after a few seconds,
really need that.
Yeah, I'm so bad for that. And like, it's funny. I try to be energy cautious and try to be.
But we all slip up. We're only human. You know?
Yeah.
What you can.
I am famous for that. So something I definitely need to work on or find. You know, technology solutions, I don't think, are the ultimate way. I think it's persevering in waste management and trying to get rid of wasteful attributes that we have as a society. But I definitely do think technology can play a huge, 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 huge impact if it's used correctly, especially with efficiencies in the home. And yeah,
definitely. I think that's okay. Well, good that's touch. Enough of those points. Let's get to the next one. The next one is reduce or create zero waste.
Oh yeah.
This is a big one in our household.
This actually, believe it or not, is my favorite. This is my favorite one. Uh-huh. Big parts of it is
you do like it.
It is. It's fun. It's also interacting with people, unwilling participants.
Explain yourself a little
bit. We should actually. Okay, so for example, my work, I went up to them, I saw the amount of cardboard.
Well, let's just pause for a second.
Okay.
We're talking about the big pit compost.
Okay,
let's
for
just
sure.
Talk about that topic okay. of zero waste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I do want to touch on that.
No,
okay.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Well, you can give that example of so we have a big compost pile up front that we're trying
yes.
to create. And collect a lot of resources
mm-hmm.
for.
We don't have the time to kind of talk about the fundamentals of it. Again, that would be another great podcast that we could do.
Which we will.
But
to
we've collected organic greens and browns, and we have essentially done it free-ish for the most part. We've collected them through with our neighbors
yes.
with contributions just because they know that I've mentioned them. Like if you ever have wood chips or
food waste
or anything like yeah. that, I'll be very appreciative for the contribution. So that is something that we've actively been vocal about and has been a fun experiment, to be honest with you. So what I was talking about earlier
yeah.
was another aspect was cardboard. We're going to be doing this thing called sheet mulching. So
yes.
it's not using plastic fabrics. Funny enough, I am in the oil and gas industry, but I, with my this project and with everything that does that we do in this project, I try to be as carbon neutral as I possibly can and use things that are biodegradable.
Yeah.
Yeah, reuse, reduce, recycle whenever I can. So this cardboard that we get in basically for free that we have to take the tape off
from
and do
both of our works.
From both of our jobs that we're getting truckloads worth of cardboard
that would just get thrown out.
It could be turned into maybe more cardboard. I think there's other options that can be if it's recycled properly, but I also think this project would be a great a learning
experiment
to see what we can do by just the ask, and also too when we have an abundance of food and that we can share as a bartering. So people that are willing to, you know, put the work to come over here and dump off some cardboard and we stay connected and they,
yeah.
you know, come see the garden and we have an abundance of food and we've known that they've been active members in this is like, we have no problem sharing our bowl because it's creating community. And that's really important.
Which is also another.
Yeah, that goes on to the next.
Practice.
That's another practice.
Getting to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
And the community, because knowledge is power and we're a community.
Before,
we're all in this together.
Before we get to the last point, because that is the last point.
Yeah, we'll go back to the zero waste.
So what we have done by collecting cardboard, by reaching out to landscapers that go into
our
arborists that
yeah.
go down and clear trees and they have wood chips and they can take it to the landfill or take it to other places to get processed. But we ask them to come here and dump wood chips so we get that matter that we could use as a layer of mulch that we can use to sheet mulch areas so weeds won't pop through. And then when we're ready, when we have the blank canvas of our project, this food forest, we'll be able to, when we want to plant a tree, move the sheet mulch a little bit, dig a hole, put all the goodies, earthworms, the compost that we've made, and a bunch of vermicastings or vermicompost and
biochar
and things like that we'll grow on site, all our amendments, and we'll plant a tree and a shrub and we'll try to do it for as low as cost as we possibly can, because the goal of it is to work with community trying to get these things. We've worked with Low Juicery they've been great where they all their juice pulp, so all the organic matter that is great for giving to the worms or putting in the
Compost, yeah.
compost. Neighbors around our acreages, they've also contributed in different
They
ways.
do weekly dumps into
Yeah,
our compost,
we
yeah.
made it convenient with like moving the snow and stuff like that.
Like
So
we get shredded paper from companies. We try
yeah.
and just get as much organic waste that we can to add to our piles.
And working with neighbors, like I said, the bartering system's a big part of that as well. If we will work with our community neighbors, people that reach us on Instagram, and that maybe local Edmonton that maybe have like a dumpster full of cardboard that the person that owns that dumpster has no problem for us going diving in it,
Yeah.
and they reached out to us. Those types of conversations and those types of agreements, when our harvest is bumping in June, July, and
We have
August,
this big, huge
and we have
pile of
this pot,
compost
yeah, we have this
deep
pot,
in
yeah,
pile.
and we have food coming, and we'll message them and be like, hey, like, would you be interested in X and X and X?
Yeah.
Because we have an abundance of it.
Come
It's,
sharing.
yeah,
Yeah.
sharing the love as well. And it, for a simple thing of a truckload of cardboard.
Yeah.
It's those types of interactions that I'm excited for, and also the interactions of fellow gardeners, with
Yes.
our planter boxes
Our
as well.
community,
Yeah.
yes.
So anyways, I think now we can go to the final point. I think we got a little ahead of ourselves, but
Well,
this is
yeah.
a good one too.
Just getting to know your neighbors and your community. Like the gardening community is fundamental to help you grow and share. Knowledge is power, right? So like sharing all your experiences. Talk about how was your garden last year? How has the drought affected you? And vice versa. If it was a rainy year, like how this, how that? And that's just how we're gonna learn and grow because you don't like, unfortunately, you have to wait a whole year to try again when
Yeah,
something fails. So
totally.
if we can share that, that's what we're all here for with the community. And just help each other out with our growing experience, becoming a modern day homestead.
I think I have an interesting story to tell. Being a tradesman, I make the joke, and it's true though. I look at a bright light all day and I go around and around in circles. But what really gives me enjoyment is when I start selling my planter boxes and I start interacting with gardeners. I'll be like, what's your plans for this year? What are you planning on putting in your boxes? And
Yes.
then past clients that come back for more. So I get maybe a second, third, fourth season of having conversations with them. The highs, the
Yeah, their
lows, the
successes, the
successes.
difference of planting in raised beds over like sowing in the ground. Yeah, all of
I
it.
really enjoy talking to fellow gardeners. I think it's because we have a lot in common, and it's just fun to have those conversations. And I think it's also too with gardeners, passing off knowledge is very easy, and it's almost like secondhand. It's, oh, that worked for you. I tried this as well. Maybe you should try and experiment. And that's what a lot of the gardening is about, is maybe even in an area that you put it in, everything, all the other variables could be the same. It's just that you put it in a shaded area where it should have been a bit more sun. And
Yeah,
just by moving it
exactly. Just
around
learning that simple.
and having that conversation with somebody and them pointing it out, being like, hey, maybe try it in a different area because all the
And
other
you're like,
variables seem
and then
right.
you do it and it works.
And
And
it
you're like,
works.
yes.
Yes.
Now you share that on and it continues.
So it's a lot of trial and error, but it is rewarding too, especially when you get involved in different communities as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. So all of those six permaculture practices that we are set five that we are going after. We're
Just
gonna
list them off again one more
grow.
time,
Okay,
just
one
to.
more time. So one, grow your own food. Two, catch and store rainwater. Three is build and retrofit your home to heat and cool itself and create its own resources. Five is to create Sorry, four is to create zero waste, and then five is to get to know your neighbors and your community. Each episode in Modern Day Homesteaders, we will be diving a little deeper into each one of these topics and sharing our experience in our turning our 1970s acreage into a modern day homestead.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you again, or we will be here again next week.
First chapter of many.
Yes. Woo! Season 1. Welcome back.